Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Archean Chemical Industries Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Pendurthi, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our first ever earnings call to discuss the operational and financial performance of Q3 and nine months FY23. On this call, we are joined by our CFO, Mr. Raghunathan Rajagopalan, and Mr. Rajeev Kumar, Deputy General Manager, Finance and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and our company websites. This should have been available beginning last Friday evening. This has obviously been a important quarter for the company, with the listing on the stock exchange in November 2021. First of all and foremost, we would like to thank all our stakeholders for the successful launch of the IPO and all those who have invested in the company, past and present and in the future. We believe that we are emboldened in carrying out our plans for the company with such faith expressed in us and our company. Since some of you may be hearing us for the first time today, just a quick background of what the company does, and then Mr. Raghunathan, our CFO, will walk you through the operational and financial performance and the numbers. Archean, we are a 10+ year-old company, and we are a leading manufacturer of marine chemicals, specialty marine chemicals in India. We manufacture primarily three products: bromine, industrial salt, and sulfate of potash. Our facility is located in Hajipir in Gujarat, and we have our own brine reserves in the run of Kutch in Gujarat. We have an integrated production facility that's one of the largest of its kind, making marine specialty chemicals, and is located close to Jakhau Jetty and Mundra Port, since logistics is an important part of what we do as well. Majority of our revenue is primarily coming from exports, more than three-quarters almost, and we have a large export presence in the Far Eastern markets, right from China, Japan, South Korea, all the way to the Middle East, with countries like Qatar and UAE. Also we have an exposure to the export markets for sulfate of potash in Europe. We have about 52 clients, out of which 27 are global and 25 are domestic, and many of them are large conglomerates and global trading companies. A quick glimpse on each of the products. Many of you may already know some parts of it, but nevertheless, bromine is our is one of our main products and contributes almost half of the revenue in nine months FY23. It is a member of the halogen family and is found naturally in seawater, underground brine deposits, and other water reservoirs rich in bromine. It is a starting point for making many of the value-add products that we intend to make in the coming years on the bromine derivative side through our downstream wholly owned subsidiary that's coming up in Jhagadia. It's also used in industries like pharma, agrochemicals, water treatment, flame retardants, additives, and oil and gas segments. There's a large end application use, but the production of bromine is from very limited sources. We hold a leadership position in India's bromine merchant sales. We are the largest exporter out of India, and probably in time to come, we should be the largest manufacturer as well. For the last few years, we have invested in building capacity in bromine, and we have moved from 10,000 tons per annum size to 28,500 tons, and we are also now close to expanding that in excess of 42,000 tons. Industrial salt is another main product for us. This comes during the process of manufacturing bromine. About half our revenue comes from industrial salt. The industrial salt is primarily used by importers in the regions overseas, as I told you, for caustic soda and soda ash, primarily for making chlorine to downstream plastic markets, PVC, etc. 100% of our export of industrial salt is sold overseas. And we have a strong association with Sojitz Corporation, a large Japanese trading conglomerate, who is also one of our major customers for the product. We have three washeries in the industrial salt field, and we're also planning to expand that by adding one more washing line to take the capacity up. Sulfate of potash, again, we're only one of few in the world who make it from natural sea brine. Hence, we have a low cost of production. It is a fairly green process, as there's no chemical additives involved. We only use a simple separation process. And we're the only ones, as I said, who make it from natural sea brine. Globally, only 15% of sulfate of potash is produced through the brine route, and the balance 85% is produced through the non-green or chemical route, which is a bit energy intensive. It is a specialty fertilizer that's used mostly for chloride-sensitive crops, and we are one of the few companies who have received REACH certification in Europe, which allows us to export our sulfate of potash products to European customers for direct application or for blending purposes. Over the last few years, we've had some challenges on the raw material preparation for the potash plant. We worked over the last few months to solve this technical issue. And we have found some ways of dealing with this. Hence, we feel that the production numbers will improve on this particular product in the months and years to come. On the CapEx, we are in the growth phase, and obviously given the growing demand for the three products, we continue to invest in expanding our capacity and capability. As I mentioned, in bromine, we're adding an additional 14,000 tons per annum, which will be used for producing the downstream derivatives in our upcoming facility, Greenfield project in Jhagadia, in Gujarat. Industrial salt, I already mentioned this. We're going to expand the washing capacity by adding another washery of 250 tons per hour, further taking our capacity up. And then sulfate of potash, I think I've covered that, the improvements we're making on the field. Greenfield expansion, as I mentioned, we are doing this through a wholly owned subsidiary in Jhagadia. And that plant we've just started work on that plant. And this will be making bromine performance derivatives, primarily flame retardants, clear brine fluids, and bromine catalysts. And obviously, you're all aware, globally, you know, properties worth billions are lost due to fire-related accidents every year, and stringent safety norms are imposed. And the flame retardant is one such category that addresses such concerns stemming from fires. So capacity for bromine, brominated flame retardants will be about 10,000 tons per annum, followed by the clear brine fluids, about 13,000 tons per annum, and 5,000 tons per annum of the bromine catalysts. The capex is about 250 crores, and we expect to commence production by the end of FY24. I'll hand it over to Mr. Raghunathan, our CFO, who will walk you through some of the numbers and the highlights, and then we can take questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And a very good evening to all the participants on the call. We are pleased to place on record our performance for Q3 and the 9 month period ending 31st December 2022. Both bromine and industrial salt has reported a reasonable performance in this period. To give a brief summary of Q3 performance, the total revenue is at rupees 3,723 million, a growth of 19% on a Y-on-Y basis. 77% of this revenue is from exports, and the remaining 23% is from the domestic market. If I have to add on the revenue mix, bromine has contributed around 43% of the total revenue. Industrial salt has given around 56%, and nearly 1% has come from SOP. EBITDA for this quarter is at around 1,677 million, a growth of 36% on a YoY basis, and has given a margin at 45%. Coming to the net profit, the company has registered a net profit after tax of rupees 983 million, which is almost 2x of the previous year's PAT for the same period. Moving to 9 months performance, total revenue for the 9 months period is rupees 10,943 million, giving a growth of 42% on a YoY basis. Export market has contributed around 73%, and the remaining 27% is from the domestic market. Moving to the revenue mix, bromine has contributed around 51%, and industrial salt has contributed around 49%. EBITDA for the company for the 9 months period is at 4,755 million, a growth of 51% on a YoY basis, with EBITDA margin at 43.5% during this period. The company has registered a net profit after tax of rupees 2,468 million for the 9 months period ending, giving a growth of 131% on a YoY basis. A few other updates that have happened during this period is that the IPO proceeds were used to redeem the entire NCD. Net debt to equity is at 0.1 as at December 31, 2022, and ROE and ROCE are at 40%+ as on this date. With these few words, we open up the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for providing this opportunity. I've got a few questions. First on the bromine sale for this quarter, which looks like has reduced on a YoY basis. We are down 5.4%. What is leading to this decline in the bromine sales? That's number one. Number two, on the salt, there looks like a significant growth of around 58% on a YoY basis, Q3 of this year to Q3 of last year. Now, can you help us understand what is driving the growth here and in other there is a decline? These are my first question. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. On the bromine, obviously, I should be quick to point out that the market remains firm. The offtakes remain firm both domestically and overseas. However, as you realize, a large part of the bromine that we sell overseas, so the bromine business itself is split between domestic market and the export market. It's about roughly half and half. The export market, because of the last quarter, which is basically third quarter, the Chinese, which are the larger importers of the bromine product, they were affected by this outbreak of COVID, and that situation led to a lot of challenges with moving the containers and the local logistics issues in China. We've been told to stagger the shipments, and also it was quickly followed again by the new year that they celebrate this January end, 2023. One after the other. We've been staggering those shipments. However, we've been able to obviously divert that volume into the domestic market. Like I said, the domestic market continues to remain firm. That was the reason, and we believe that's just an aberration. It will quickly correct itself as the cases and the situation in China improves, as it has already been improving over the last month or so. On the salt itself, our volume has grown because the offtake has remained strong from all existing customers. We've got a couple of new customers as well. I think the downstream markets for some of these large petrochemical plants has remained strong. The growth has come from that.
Great, sir. Second on.
Just to clarify also, the average realization also has moved up for salt. over the previous contracts. So that also has helped to create both volume and value.
Got it, got it. Second on this SOP, we have harvested new KTRNs and we were expecting 9 to 10,000 metric ton of sale. That entire sales will be booked in Q4. Are we confident on that?
We have produced that quantity. So we are confident of booking a large part of the sale within this financial year. We're just waiting for some of these markets to reopen. And the planting season will start generally, you know, April, May. So the customers start booking their orders as we speak. So we are already in negotiation with a few customers to finalize that sale.
Got it, got it. Second, can you provide the volume for all the three segments for this quarter as well as same quarter last year? Hello.
Yeah, hi Sanjay, this is Rajiv here.
Yeah, hi Rajiv.
Hi, for industrial salt, this quarter for 9 months we have done 1.1 million tons of sales. For the corresponding figure for last year was, last year 9 months was 900,000 tons approximately. For SOP against 2,300, we have 322, we have done 582. And bromine. And for bromine, 9 months this year is 14,071 tons against 14,733 last year 9 months.
Got it, got it. One last question from my side before I join back the queue. Rajit, you want to give any update on the land renewal? Where are we in the process and when it is expected to be closed? So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Just to clarify one thing, Sanjesh, the salt figure and SOP figure which I told you was for the quarter. Bromine was for 9 months and salt for the 9 months is 2.75 million this year, which was 2.42 million last year, 9 months.
Okay. And the bromine for this quarter?
Bromine for this quarter is around 4,000 tons. Corresponding to 5,200 per last year.
Got it. Thank you. And the land renewal?
Yeah, that is work in progress. We are confident of getting that renewal soon because I believe that there are other companies also in the state of Gujarat waiting for the state government's permissions and renewals. So I think the government obviously continues to remain very proactive in these matters and we hope that's sooner than later.
Got it. Thanks. Thanks for all the answers and best of luck for the coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodhia from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question was on bromine. The current total capacity today would be around 28,000 metric ton. Is that understanding correct?
Yes.
Right. And
just to clarify, there's the capacity as of December 22.
Okay. That is December 22.
Yes.
Right, and whatever, you know, where the shipment which got delay in this quarter, we will be able to compensate in the next quarter, right?
Yes, as the, I think as the local COVID issues subside in China, the shipment should be back on track. But nevertheless, I think, as I said, you know, we have a large customer base within India as well. And we've been able to, you know, divert a large part of that volume repurpose it into Indian markets.
Got it. Second was on pricing. So if you can just help on, you know, bromine side, what is the current pricing and, you know, contractual term
Our contracts typically run basis 12-month order books largely. It's contracted out. I think on the contracted pricing, we are still seeing at the levels that we've disclosed in the DRHP. We're not seeing too much variation on that front.
FY24 quantity as well as price is being contracted. Is that understanding correct?
Well, half of the year as of now. The rest half of the year, I think, is under discussion. Our endeavor will always remain to keep at least a year's order book as we've always kept in the past.
Right. These contracts are for domestic as well as export, right?
Yes, for both. On the industrial salt, we usually have two-year contracts, and the two-year contracts are already in place for the next two calendar years.
Right. This quarter, realization in industrial salt will reflect this two-year new pricing.
Yes.
Got it. Just lastly, on this derivative plant, you mentioned that you'll be starting this plant by Q4 FY24. Is there any delay in this plant? Because I think earlier understanding was it will get commissioned in Q2 end.
No, there's no delay per se. All the permissions are in place. I think we are now trying to see. Earlier, we had a phase one and phase two. I think given the market, we believe we would try to complete both phases within that time frame.
Right. Commercial production will start in Q1 FY25?
No, I think we aim to start commercial production and billing before FY24 end itself.
That's great. Industrial salt, when we expect the capacity to go up from 3.6 million to 5.2?
That should happen sometime through the second part of this year.
Okay. So currently, we are running at peak utilization. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, we're running at more than 100%. So with all the business in hand, we are sufficiently covered in terms of existing output.
Got it. And what could be the seasonality in our business across four quarters? If you can just help us understand across industrial salt, bromine, SOP.
Salt is generally stable through the quarters because there's always a shipment plan that's given well ahead of time by the customers. With bromine also, it's fairly even. It's just that depends sometimes on the rains, the monsoons in India, where depending on the requirement of the agrochem, the shipments vary a bit in accordance with the demand by the agrochem players. Pharma is obviously far more even, but the large sector continues to remain the agrochem sector within India. And on the overseas side, again, that's a fairly stable offtake because that's primarily used for flame retardants, which are not necessarily weather-related or agriculture-related.
Right.
So maybe more pointedly, historically, if you see, there will generally be the third quarter. Second or third quarter, you'll see a little bit of a downshift because that's when India has monsoons.
Very clear, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, you indicated that basically the contract price is largely at the same level what you basically disclosed in the DRHP. But then I believe the spot bromine price had slightly elevated, right? So does that change your basically the future price? I mean, how the dynamics work, let's say, the spot versus your contracting price?
So generally, our prices are fixed. So we don't necessarily renegotiate with the buyers. So I think, like I said earlier on the call, we believe that the contract that we are servicing right now will largely be in line with what's already been signed at what prices they've been signed.
Okay. Okay, but then let's say, I believe now you are covered for 12 months, right? After 12 months, let's say going by the 6 months, you have to again sign the new contract. So in that new contract, how the price mechanism will be decided? Is that the spot minus 20-30% or spot plus 20%? How it is decided?
Well, I think as a company, we've never really believed in spot price being valid for a long-term contract price.
Okay.
So I think that may not be necessarily the right place to start a negotiation with. I think it depends on the volume a customer offtakes, depends on the size and the nature of relationship for the number of years that we've had with them. And we also always, the spot price, similarly, as you know, they also know. So they know that they're not going to get too much discount, you know, in terms of where the pricing today stands. But it also means that everyone has to take a view on will this spot price hold. So as a buyer, naturally, no buyer is going to say the high spot price will hold. As a seller, it will be our endeavor to see how much closer we can be to such a spot price. But generally, a spot price will not be the basis of a negotiation for a long-term contract.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, sir, in terms of the bromine capacity, you would be like operating at what utilization today?
We are at around 75% of the capacity.
Okay. And let's say the forward of the bromine which you are going to do, in that also the base bromine will be used from the, so basically how much of this capacity will be, let's say, internally consumed next year?
Well, I think when the downstream plant is up and running, our anticipation is that in the first year we should be close to 5,000 to 6,000 tons of internal consumption, and then going up all the way to 13,000 tons internal consumption.
Okay. Okay. And then you have the leeway to expand your bromine capacity also, like what you are doing in salt?
We do.
Okay. Let's say if requirement comes, can we, let's say, debottleneck our capacity by 30-40%?
I wouldn't hazard a guess on the quantity I will be, we can debottleneck, but we certainly can increase production as and when required for the downstream unit, because that's our focus going forward on the value add products.
Okay. Okay. Perfect, sir. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ajay Sharma from Maybank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Actually, I want to check for the derivatives, right, at the full optimum utilization, what sort of revenue and EBITDA would you target?
So, we are doing a capital expenditure of around 250 crores there. And on full ramp-up of the capacity, we expect that to be around 3 times asset turn. And EBITDA is something we expect to be in early 30s with market prices of bromine.
Okay, and then I also want to check in terms of within the bromine and the industrial salt, right? Is there a difference in terms of the EBITDA margins?
So we are not doing segmental level EBITDA because there are a lot of costs which are shared. But contribution-wise, bromine is better than industrial salt.
Okay, right. Because if I look at Q3, right, which the salt contribution is much higher, right, the margin has also improved, actually, compared to previous quarters. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah, that's because I think we started executing some new contracts at higher pricing, as I was saying earlier, where there was a correction, upward correction in the salt pricing. And I think that's being reflected in those numbers. And as I said, you know, the bromine on the export side, the shipments have been staggered out.
Okay, and just the last one, in terms of the exports and domestic for bromine, right, is there a difference in the pricing and profitability?
Not really. It's pretty much, you know, at par. Give or take, depending on a specific contract at that point in time. But if you take as a whole for a year, there wouldn't be too much of a variation.
Okay, okay. So the average realization of bromine seems to have gone up from Q1 to Q3. Is that entirely because of the rupee depreciation or because I'm just calculating based on your quantity disclosed? It seems like it's gone up to all the way up to 400,000 or 390,000 for bromine, which used to be like 3.
So that is predominantly due to steady increase in the bromine price.
So even the contract price is going up, is it?
The contract prices were already at a higher level than the previous quarters. So the newer contracts came into effect for the last two quarters.
Okay, but it's a 12-month cycle, right? So normally it gets adjusted every 12 months or you start seeing the benefit within 6 months basically?
So to clarify, 12 months does not mean that every customer starts at 12 months. It's a rolling basis.
Okay.
So there may be a customer A whose contract has got signed 9 months ago, who's at the end of his contract. Someone may have started only 3 months back, so has 9 months left in the contract.
Great. So that means your realization could continue to inch up as long as the bromine price remains firm at the current levels. Because you'll have some new guys coming at a higher price, right, again?
Yes, if the prices hold, yes. Vis-a-vis, like you rightly said, the old contracts who we are servicing towards the end of their life, they'll probably be negotiated at a today's price, vis-a-vis their old price.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So can you talk a little bit more, because if I, you know, look at the cost, you know, we have a higher cost on the power side and the transportation side. I mean, I would have assumed that this cost for everyone else has been higher and is coming down. So can you give some color with respect to how do you see this cost, say, you know, versus last quarter to now, and how do you see the trend over here?
See, basically the cost for this quarter has gone up in terms of other expenses as we have more of a CF contracts in this quarter on salt. So as we have more of CF contracts, we have the ocean freight that has built up in the other expenses. That's one of the major contribution on the or a reason for increase in the other expenses in terms of cost. But otherwise we would see that on a net price realization on salt, it is up as compared to any of those
costs. And but the absolute cost, I mean, if I'm looking at say a transportation cost for container, export container, or you know, on for the bromine or the salt, is that coming down? Because I remember that it had spiked and it was, you know, coming down. I'm just looking at it whether the trend is moving down or, you know, whether it's remaining at least sticky here.
Yeah, I think it's overall with the global trend, those costs are coming down, and obviously, we are seeing the benefit of that as well.
Sure. Both on the transportation and the power cost, I would assume.
Yeah, on the freight, on the ocean freight cost and the power cost.
Sure. Sir, one you know, clarification that you know, I have. I mean, you're adding about 28,000 tons, you know, primarily on the derivative side. And, you know, we are spending about 250 crores, the optimum asset turn of about 3 times. Now, if I actually, you know, divide the 750 crores by 280, I'm getting a price which is slightly lower than that of the current bromine price. I mean, how would the math work? I mean, in the sense, would there be a value add more on the margin side? So how does the value add work when you move from a base bromine to, say, moving up, you know, something like clear bromine or a, you know, bromine same metallic?
So I'm not, obviously I'm not privy to the model that you've used, but what clarification we can give is that the bromine derivative and the bromine raw material are not in a 1:1 ratio. So for example, a flame retardant, 1 ton of flame retardant will use 0.64 tons of bromine. Whereas the clear brine fluid may use only 0.2 tons of bromine. And some product that we have may use 1.1 tons of bromine. So there's a combination of products within the product portfolio and the derivative business. So it's not a one-to-one input-output vis-a-vis bromine.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Ranjan from IIFL Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sorry, Mr. Ranjan, may we request you to speak a bit louder?
Is it better now?
A little more.
Yeah. So my question is on the clarification on the capacity utilization. So could you help me to understand, like, you know, when we say that, you know, the capacity has increased by 18,500 in FY23 or 22 actually, is it in sync with, you know, the salt capacity also, or is it the processing capacity that has got increased? So what I'm trying to understand is, like, you know, when we talk about capacity increase in the bromine, is it like the land area, you know, on which we, you know, take the bittern that has got increased, or the downstream processing that got increased by 18,500?
So, if I understood your question correctly, the bromine capacity has gone up by doing two things. One is the production units itself have been have gone up, right? So the processing units have gone up. The second one is, as the investors and the market is aware, we did a capex a year and a half ago where we did increase the size of the brine field and the reservoirs. So that obviously gives us more quantum of brine available for processing through the bromine plant. So that is how it has gone up. But having said that, there is the salt and bromine are not correlated in terms of expansions. We can expand one without having to expand the other and vice versa.
So when you say that you have increased the capacity ex processing, so could you elaborate why it will not be in sync with salt? Like, you will be using the water and then you will be getting the salt, and on the top layer you will getting the bittern which you will process it further. So could you help me understand why the salt capacity will not automatically get increased?
So that possibly we may have to walk you through a little bit more on how we run the process itself of the brine field. So maybe we can take that on a separate one-on-one call.
Sure. Sure. Second question is on the utilization. I think 9 month bromine number you have given around 14,071 metric ton, if I'm right.
Yes. Yeah, correct.
So if I, you know, normalize it and use a base number for the capacity as 28,500, I get capacity utilization percentage as 65%, 66%. But you said that 75% is the current utilization. So is it like the Q4 run rate is sharply higher compared to what we have seen in 9 months?
Yes. Q4 production will be higher.
Got it.
Compared 9 months production with the annual capacity to get your 65%.
And is this led by, you know, increased offtake from China? Because I believe that domestic might be running at, you know, similar kind of pace. So is this capacity utilization increased because of increased exports to China?
Not necessarily, Alokji. I think the market, both domestic and export, remain firm. So like I said, some part of this has been diverted to the domestic market. And there's enough and more, I think, absorption at the domestic level at the moment.
Got it, sir. Second question is, sir, in terms of pricing, generally we have a rolling pricing basis, and obviously, as you explained, there is no direct correlation in terms of how the spot market behaves. But between domestic and exports, do we follow a very similar kind of contract structure in terms of pricing and the volume contract rolling over 1 year kind of visibility? Or there is some difference in terms of domestic and exports revenue realization on the bromine side?
So the pricing between domestic and export is usually, when we do the pricing for the customers, I think we try to keep in mind what's happening in either market. So they're largely in line with each other, given except for, you know, the variation in the freight. Obviously, the domestic rates within the country are cheaper than the ones that you use for overseas. But in terms of the strategy of selling itself, I think the export business is longer term. Usually it's a 1 year, and the domestic sales are generally anywhere between, it's either a quantity or a term contract. So it could be between 6 months to a year for the larger players.
Got it. And sir, last question is on the Jhagadia plant. So you are saying that the plant will be, that means the commercial sales will start before FY 2024. So can we say that, you know, in the flame retardant, in terms of stabilization of the plant, with the kind of the technology which you will be getting from, you know, your partner, there will not be much challenge in terms of stabilization of the plant, or any teething issues will not be there in this product?
Well, we are making a variety of products. Flame retardant is one of them. So I think there is some time cushion that's been built into that startup date to address any of these at the moment unforeseen issues if they crop up.
Got it. And sir, till 9 month SOP has not done well, the sulfate of potash segment has not done well. So how should we think about, you know, covering it in Q4? Are there any issues, or we are confident to make up for the any slippage which might have happened in 9 month FY 2023 in Q4 for SOP segment?
So SOP itself, we have run the plant and we've produced 9,000 tons, so we do have finished stock. At the moment, as I mentioned earlier in the call, we are negotiating with a few customers for their sale. So we do have material that's been produced by the plant.
Got it. And any challenge in optics, sir?
Mr. Ranjan, may we request you to please rejoin the queue. We have participants waiting for the turn.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. So just wanted to know, what has been the realization growth in salts for 9 months?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
What has been the realization growth in salts for 9 months?
For the industrial salt, it's gone up by about 30%.
And in the near term or for the next year, do we think that the realizations at the current level seem sustainable?
We believe so, yes.
Sure. And is industrial salts been operating at full capacity?
Yes, it is.
So for next year, the avenue for growth will be limited to the incremental utilization that we can achieve in the bromine, on the bromine side, because the derivatives will come towards the fag end of the year. Or is there any other growth plans also for FY 2024?
It won't be limited because I think, like I said, someone else had asked about this earlier in the call in a different way. So I think our salt volume that we anticipate that's going to be delivered over the next 2 years, our current manufacturing capacity will be able to cater to that. And in addition to that, as I mentioned, we're adding another line for the end product. So that should come up in the next 6 to 7 months calendar year. And that should take care of additional volume that we can go out and get in addition to what we're already contracted for.
What is the CapEx that we're doing for this increase in capacity on the salt side?
I think we had disclosed that in the DRHP, and I think we're maintaining that. I think it's about 10 odd crores.
Okay, 10 crores, got it. And the 250 crores that we're doing for Greenfield, how are we funding this?
I believe it's going to be a mixture of equity and debt.
Have we decided the mix?
We are looking at one-third from the own funds and two-thirds from the borrowed.
And the bromine derivatives, will this largely be sold domestically, or is this going to be a 50-50 split between domestic and exports like bromine?
I think the domestic market for downstream derivatives is still a growing one, so there will be some volume offered domestically similar to what we do in sulfate of potash, but it will largely be export focused.
Okay. And will we need customer approval for this, which could, and what would the timelines for that be? Because there will be some batches we have to give and it will have to be approved, etc.
Sorry, can you repeat that question a little bit more slowly?
Sure. I was asking that there will be some amount of customer approval also that we will need. So what is the timeline or the process for the same?
For meeting customer
quality,
you mean?
Yeah, it will need customer approval, right? Before we can go out and supply.
Okay. Sorry, we couldn't understand that word. Okay, approval. Yeah, so customer approvals in this particular space are not necessarily time taking. It's more about meeting a specific quality that they require. And in that sense, you know, if you're able to meet the quality, we should be able to get the business going. And we're already working in the background with our lab to start making trials of these products, derivatives, and started approaching potential customers for approvals.
Okay, so that is on simultaneously?
Yeah, it will go on simultaneously, correct.
So, and just one last question. Will China be our biggest market for the bromine derivatives?
No, I think the bromine derivatives will actually open up Asia and Europe and North America and Latin America. So I think it's a much broader end-use market because it's a final product, not the intermediate one in most cases.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riken Gopani from Capri Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, I would like to understand that when you are adding this 14,000 ton capacity in bromine, by when is that expected to be commissioned?
We are expecting this to be up and running from before FY24. We intend to have this in place in Q4 of this financial year.
Okay, basically very much aligned with the expansion in the derivative capacity.
Yes.
Okay, so next year basically your volume growth in bromine is, let's say, could be driven by capacity utilization improving from 70. How much can you go up for the current capacity from 75% that you target for this year to in the next year in terms of utilization?
So I think two things are going to happen. One is the utilization rate will keep moving up, but also in addition to that, the 75% is basis 28,500 ton capacity. So that capacity, this the fourth quarter, we are increasing that. So there is still quite a bit of room left for that expansion.
Got it. The second one is trying to understand how, so what you're saying is that for this year at least you'll look at about 75% utilization. So roughly that works out to be 7,000 tons kind of volume in the fourth quarter. That could be broadly as the Chinese economy is opening up one, or are there new domestic clients, that will pick up? Or what will drive the offtake? Because I think you said you did Q3 at about 5,000 tons. So what will drive this scale up in Q4?
So at the moment, you know, just to, I guess, set the expectation right, the Chinese need to still come back to the market in terms of the offtake. I think they have started that, but unfortunately, our financial year ends March. So I don't know if they will be able to do that in the next, you know, 45 days. But as a business as a whole, we still believe that they will continue to, you know, open up and continue to keep taking the larger share of the volume. And the domestic market, we do keep signing new customers, but primarily we have relationships with the large agrochem players, and I think their increasing requirement we're able to fulfill as well.
Understood, sir. Okay. Then one question on the pricing. You mentioned that there are these rolling contracts, and therefore, you will see that impact coming through. So at this point in time, would you say that, you know, whatever sort of renewals had to take place to align your pricing closer to the current price scenario is being done, or you would still see some of these impacts coming through in the next year in terms of the improvement in pricing?
Are you saying that if there was a price increase in the future, would we see the impact of it in the next quarter?
No, what I'm trying to say is that based on the current spot pricing, while you said that you're not totally deriving your price from that, but there is a renegotiation which happens at the end of one year. So some of them might have already been renegotiated until now, but as you have more renegotiations going forward, based on the current spot price of bromine, do you see further improvement in realizations even on a current as-is scenario?
I think that's a bit of a tough question to answer because we need to see bromine. Yes, we are in the specialty chemical business. You know, we are able to control cost. We're able to derive a significant advantage in terms of, you know, the production are being on the lowest cost curve of production, etc. But having said that, bromine is one part of the entire chemical industry and the entire business globally, right? While we may be very strong in what we do, I think there also has to be attention paid to what's happening globally on the chemical industry, right? I think we are seeing some segments or maybe large number of segments coming under some sort of pressure in terms of pricing, etc., right? So how we do as a company is going to depend on a couple of things. One is what we do internally to ensure that our costs are continuously recalibrated, right? And the second one is to be able to move volume because that's also going to be important. And the third one, not the least, but equally important, is can we at least sustain the margins that we're aiming to make? So I think as a company, our endeavor will continue to see and ensure that at least that we maintain the margin that we currently have.
Understood, sir. That is very clear. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah.
We request you to please rejoin the queue, sir.
Of course. Yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Pratik Oza from Systematix.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So my question is, 82% of our revenue comes from top 20 customers.
So, Mr. Oza, but there is a lot of.
Your voice is not clear.
One second.
Is it clear now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, I think that was.
Yeah, so my question is, around 82% of our revenue comes from top 20 customers. So in order to protect our revenue in case a major customer cancels our contract, so is there a minimum or volume offtake clause or a take-or-pay clause in our contracts with our customers?
As a company, we have never done take-or-pay contracts, simply because that's a bit of a double-edged sword. And I think we have stayed away from that. But that also stems from our confidence that since the day we started business or shipments, I think we've been fortunate to not have any customer cancel a contract till date. I agree with the perception that you can never say never. But I believe that our shipments are spread out in such a manner that we will be quick to know if there is a problem with any one customer. And that allows us, you know, that ability to then refocus or repurpose the product.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Moswal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sir, I just wanted to quickly check on who are probable competition for us in this line of business, and what's probably our market share in each of the line of business, bromine and industrial salt within India?
Within India, I mean, to be honest, I don't think we have calculated our market share. I don't want to give you some numbers that I don't have. But I think in terms of the capacity that we have, we would have a sizable market share in the domestic market for sure. And in the export market, I think we are the largest in what we do, both bromine and industrial salt.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So thank you, everyone.
Shall I promote the next question? The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest.
Rendered me.
Hi, Chirag. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Sir, just one bookkeeping question. This employee cost has gone up on a QOQ basis. I just wanted to understand, you know, what has led to this and what could be the new normal employee cost going ahead.
In Q3, as the company has rolled out its listing, they also had an ESOP scheme in place. And we had to work out the liability on this ESOP shares allotted to the employees. So there is an amount of close to around the 7 crore that is coming up on account of this, which you have to provide.
So out of 26 crore, 7 crore is towards ESOP, and 19 crore is a new normal employee cost, right? Because historically, you know, we used to see 9-10 crore as a number.
The board has also approved the commission to the managing director. And there's a proportion of this that is coming up as a liability for the 9 months period, which is accounted in this quarter.
Okay. So new normal number could be how much, sir?
New normal number will be around 40 crores.
14 crore.
Yeah.
40 for the year.
40 for the year. Okay. Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you everyone for joining us on this first call since listing, and we appreciate all your support and encouragement. I'd like to thank all stakeholders, investors, analysts, and the government for their support in enabling this to happen. And we look forward to your continued participation and active participation in that, in helping us grow your company. And we look forward to meeting all of you over the next call. Thank you. Stay safe and be well. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Alkem Chemical Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.